Last week, Edwards Law began a podcast series on electronic discovery. In our first podcast, we went into the details of processing electronically stored information, or ESI, including how to understand ESI processing functions and deciding whether or not to process ESI. Today, we will address how your attorney should be working with opposing counsel to assist in the processing and how to organize the processing logistics. Working with opposing counsel. In our prior blog, we discussed the importance of first determining whether or not your company should spend the time and resources processing ESI during the e-discovery process in litigation. One way for you and your company to do this is to have your attorney discuss the needs of the particular case with opposing counsel early on in the discovery phase of litigation. In some cases, the opposing attorney may not be interested in metadata and may not intend to use a document review platform to review the ESI. If you and your attorney are not made aware of this, you can unnecessarily incur the cost of preserving, collecting, and processing ESI to protect unwanted metadata. By clearly addressing the party's production expectations up front, including how opposing counsel intends to review and use the produced ESI, you and your company can opt for simpler or no processing. Also, discussions and negotiated agreements between you and your opponent about e-discovery in litigation can go a long way in minimizing the risk that your opponent will later challenge your company's processing protocol. If you and your attorney decide not to obtain the opponent's consent before using a processing method that removes ESI from the review set, you should make sure the removed ESI is not relevant to the case and carefully document the reasons for your decision to process the ESI in that manner. When conferring with opposing counsel on processing methods and preferences, your attorney should ensure the negotiations foster cooperation and are proportionate to the needs of the case as required by state and federal rules. Organizing the processing logistics. Your attorney has an obligation to ensure a successful ESI processing workflow by selecting capable processing entity and overseeing the processing workflow and working with the litigation technologists. While your attorney may be primarily responsible for the ESI processing strategy that you and your company decide to implement, your litigation technologists are just as instrumental in that they often implement that strategy. When processing ESI, technologists typically load the collected ESI into a processing tool, direct how the processing tool handles the ESI, for example, whether or not the system deduplicates the ESI or extracts and filters metadata, set up the processing tool to format the extracted metadata, text, and other information so that it meets counsel's review and document production needs and is compatible with the document review platform that your attorney used to host and review ESI. One option is using e-discovery vendors. E-discovery vendors offer tools for processing ESI. These vendors typically charge for processing based on both the data volume of ESI per gigabyte and an hourly rate for time their employees spend setting up, executing, and quality checking the processing work. Vendors offering bundled services such as collection, processing, and hosting in a document review platform will often not charge separate processing fees. Before using a processing vendor and committing to processing cost that a vendor bases on volume, you and your attorney must clarify how and when the vendor calculates the data value of ESI for billing because data volume varies throughout processing. For example, when the vendor restores compressed files to their full data size, the initial data volume increases, such as when counsel unzips zip files. In contrast, the volume of ESI ultimately exported for upload to a document review platform typically decreases after filtering and other processing functions like deduplication and denisting. Before you and your attorney select a vendor, you should compare the vendor's processing offerings and cost structures. Some vendors charging higher rates might include a comprehensive suite of services, while others offering lower base rates may charge additional fees for more sophisticated features. You and your attorney should also consider competing vendors' reputations and technologies. Newer vendors or experienced vendors offering newer, untested technologies might offer services at a lower cost to attract business, but opting for less proven technology or personnel could lead to unexpected and problematic results or delays. Additionally, you and your attorney should understand the limitations of any processing tool you consider. At a minimum, your counsel should confirm with each potential processing vendor whether or not historically the processing tool has functioned reliably and accurately. Consider any weaknesses of the processing tool in terms of the scope of performance, and determine whether premium charges will apply if the processing entity is forced to allocate additional processing resources, such as technology or staff, to meet a particular deadline. You and your attorney, however, should be cautious of retaining multiple entities to perform various ESI-related tasks. Every entity has processes and tools that they know well, and some of that knowledge gets lost each time vendors or counsel transfer ESI to a new entity for the next phase. Another option to consider is using outside counsel staff for ESI processing. If you have outside counsel assisting in the process, you and your company might have a range of ESI processing support available. For example, the firm might employ litigation technologists to assist with the technical side of e-discovery, or maintain ESI processing tools to provide a broader range of services without involving any discovery vendor. While some law firms that offer ESI processing charge for these services in a manner similar to e-discovery vendors, other firms take alternative approaches to cost and might either classify litigation technology as overhead without charging clients additional fees or costs for that type of work, or charge clients a flat fee for e-discovery services, including tasks such as processing, hosting for review, and production. Yet another option your company has is to use your company's in-house staff. If you are using in-house counsel, you might be able to enjoy fixed processing costs by maintaining an in-house ESI processing tool and employing litigation technologists who are trained and qualified to use it. While this approach might require significant and ongoing investment, it allows you and your company to avoid the profit margin that is built into a vendor's or law firm's processing fees. Also, maintaining in-house processing tools and technologists give you greater control over the process. However, this approach might cause tension if you have outside counsel and in-house counsel fails to include outside counsel in the related decision-making. For example, if your company's general counsel and in-house litigation technologist decide to export only ESI that meets certain parameters, for example, certain file types or documents within a particular date range, without consulting outside counsel, outside counsel's ability to effectively and truthfully respond to discovery inquiries could be compromised, as it's outside counsel who's typically representing you in court and signing discovery responses. So your outside counsel must be aware of that decision and agree that the limited export does not jeopardize the integrity and defensibility of the process. Now, overseeing the processing workflow is another important step in this process. Regardless of which processing entity you and your company choose, your attorney needs to do the following. They need to know relevant legal technologies per professional rules of conduct and adequately supervise non-attorneys, including litigation technologists who assist. And this is also required under the professional rules of conduct for attorneys. Specifically, your attorney must determine which ESI to export from the processing tool to document review platform for review. While technologists or other e-discovery consultants may advise counsel about which files and file types should be excluded from the review set, counsel should be making the final decision. Your counsel should also specify the information the ESI processing tool exports for upload to the document review platform. Technologists servicing the case should not exclude metadata from export without counsel's direction and consent. Your attorney should also direct the technologist to perform quality checks at each stage of the process and confirm that these checks have occurred, including when the technologist load ESI into the processing tool, when they execute processing functions, and when they export ESI, including metadata and text, to a document review platform. Your attorney should also confirm that the technologists review error exception reports generated by the processing tool and resolve any processing errors to counsel's satisfaction. Lastly, your attorney should maintain detailed contemporaneous notes about their processing decisions. Thorough documentation often helps your attorney if opposing counsel later challenges any processing decisions. To properly and efficiently fulfill these duties, your attorney should engage in regular discussions with litigation technologists and fully inform the technologists of the context of the case and provide them with any applicable e-discovery orders and agreements from the court. Specifically, your attorney and the technologist servicing the case should discuss the nature of the ESI, how to handle document families, the work product that the technologist must export from the processing tool, the compatibility of the processing tool's work product with the document review platform that your attorney will use for review, the format in which your attorney must produce the ESI to other parties, and the amount of time needed for ESI processing, and the overall time frame for discovery. Nature of ESI. To properly advise you and your attorney on appropriate processing functions for a case, litigation technologists must understand the type of electronically stored information at issue and how you and your attorney preserved and collected it. For example, if the technologists understand that the ESI consists primarily of PDFs generated during a large-scale scanning operation, they can advise your attorney on the relative uselessness of the metadata and the need to make scan images searchable. Document families. Some ESI, such as emails with attachments and files that contain other embedded files, is electronically linked to other files. Each set of linked files is called a document family. If your attorney needs a litigation technologist to maintain the family relationships during the processing so they remain intact during the review and production phase, he or she must communicate that expectation. The technologist can then process the ESI in a manner that preserves and exports those relationships. Exporting from the processing tool for review. Your attorney must inform litigation technologists how they expect to navigate the ESI after it has been exported from the processing tool and uploaded for review in the document review platform. For example, your attorney should identify whether they plan to search all ESI in the document review platform, whether they want the technologist to deduplicate their ESI during processing, and whether they intend to group documents for review by custodian. Compatibility with document review platforms. In some cases, you and your attorney might decide to use more than one document review platform. For example, your attorney might use one review platform to review your company's ESI and a different platform to host the opposing party's produced ESI. Your attorney must make the litigation technologist aware of each document review platform that he or she will use to host the processed and exported ESI to ensure that the export is compatible with each review platform. If the parties obtain ESI in response to a FOIA request or jointly issued subpoena, all parties can agree to share the burden associated with the ESI by selecting a single common processing entity, sharing the cost, and directing the processing entity to separately export the ESI for each party so that they can export includes the content that the party needs and is compatible with the document review platform that the party uses. Format of production. Your attorney must also inform the litigation technologist how they prefer, expect, or need to produce relevant and responsive ESI. Whether your attorney contemplates a native, image, or hybrid production might influence which processing functions he or she should use in a particular case. Discovery timeframes. To meet production deadlines, your attorney must account for the amount of time necessary to complete each stage of the ESI workflow, including processing. The pace of processing varies based on the volume of ESI produced or processed, the file types present in the ESI, the resources, including processing tools and staff, available to the processing entity, and the scope of processing. Counsel should communicate the overall discovery timeframe to the litigation technologist for the case, including any specific production deadlines, and when your attorney expects to begin and complete the review. Being aware of the discovery timeframe helps technologists meet production deadlines and recommend effective strategies. That's the end of our second podcast, concluding our podcast series on processing ESI. Join us next time for our new series. Thank you.